The story of Mert and Marge. In our last chapter, Mert had gone to visit Duke Sandfield, the gambler, to ask if he could help her explain her whereabouts for the 30 hours he had kept her prisoner. On her way back to meet Margie, she was recognized by two of the Houston gang, who decided to trail her to see if they could get some information about the Duffy mob's activities. In just a moment, we'll listen to the newest chapter in the story of Mert and Marge. Only a few minutes have gone by. Mert left the subway train at 50th Street and 8th Avenue and made her way toward Broadway. Two gangsters are following closely. One of the mobsters says,
"Look, Belden, she's going into Capitol Theater."
"And nuts. We can't hang around here 2 or 3 hours waiting for a dame to come out of a theater."
"Well, what do we do?"
"Wait a minute, Pete. She ain't buying no ticket. She's meeting another dame in the lobby."
"Yeah. Hey, they're coming back out to the street. Looks like they're going to take that taxi at the curb."
"Wait till they pass us and get in the cab. Then we'll grab the one behind and follow them. Now, watch it. Here they come."
"Margie, I told you to wait for me up on the mezzanine floor, dear."
"Oh, but Myrtle, I saw the show twice, and I was beginning to worry about you."
"Well, forget about it now. But, Margie, dear, please do what I tell you after this. Oh, let's take this cab."
"Well, Myrtle, that's the same driver again."
"Well, how did he get down here so soon?"
"Didn't you come back here in the taxi from where you were?"
"No, I took the subway." "Why'd you come down here, Mr. Slim?"
"Orders, miss."
"Get in, Margie. Please take us to Hayfield Theater, Slim."
"Was it a good picture, Margie?"
"I love Rear Guy. And isn't Clark Gable fascinating?"
"They're all fascinating on the screen, Margie. Everybody thinks show people are something unreal. But they're all just like you and me. Eat and sleep and have a lot of trouble. Only lately, we seem to have a lot more in our share.
I do wish you'd tell me where you've been, Myrtle."
"I'm sorry, dear, but I can't."
"I don't see why you can never tell me anything. You know, I won't tell anyone."
"When all this mess is cleared up, I'll tell you all about it, dear."
"Oh, we're almost at the theater, Myrtle."
"I hope Jack's waiting for us. Hope he's in the theater. I don't want this driver to see him if I can help." "Mr. Slim, we positively won't need you anymore today."
"I'll be parked outside here in case you do want me."
"Let's go into the lobby of the theater, Margie."
"Okay.
I wonder how we're going to get rid of that fella. It's getting monotonous."
"Well, let's ask Mr. Arnold about it."
"Well, Margie, let's not say anything about the driver. I don't want Jack to know anything about him, for reasons of my own."
"Okay, Myrtle. But this is so mysterious."
"Thanks, Hayfield. I'll be back later. Yeah, goodbye."
"Well, there's Jack now. He's just coming out of Hayfield's office."
"Oh, hello, girl."
"Hello."
"I got here a little early, and I went in to talk to Hayfield a minute."
"Say, Jack, have you seen the afternoon papers?"
"I have, and it looks like they're certainly not going to let you rest, Myrtle."
"Did any of the reporters come over to my apartment?"
"Mm-hmm, a couple of them. I suppose they'll quote me in the morning editions. I told them I was talking for you."
"Well, what'd you tell them, Jack?"
"Well, I told them Fred Hansen's story. I also told them that Miss Spear knows absolutely nothing about Harry Duffy. That was final, and they could quote Jack Arnold, assistant district attorney, as having proof that Miss Spear knows nothing about Duffy's murder."
"I hope that satisfies him, but I doubt it."
"Oh, let's go someplace else to talk, Myrtle."
"Oh, is the coast clear, Jack, so we can go home? I'm tired."
"Yes, I don't think you'll be bothered for a while now. Newspaper boys may be around the theater to see you tonight, but I'll be here to do the talking for you. Shall we take a taxi?"
"No, let's walk."
"Taxi, sir?"
"Oh, there he is again,
Myrtle." "Oh, you might as well take this cab, girls."
"Okay."
"Hop in. There we are. Delamont Apartments, driver."
"Yes, sir."
"Well, did your girls enjoy the picture?"
"Oh, it was great."
"But, Myrtle, you didn't..."
"I said the picture was great. I could see it over again."
"Well, what was it about?"
"Oh, Greer Garson and Clark Gable. Oh, you tell him, Margie."
"Oh, I just adore Greer Garson. And doesn't Clark Gable make the most wonderful love, Mr. Arnold?"
"Well, Margie Pardew, what do you know about love?"
"Well, I can see it. And I can see the way they do it on the screen."
"Well, generally, it doesn't work out that way in real life, Margie."
"Oh, doesn't it, Mr. Arnold?" "I hoped it did."
"And I suppose when you meet your Prince Charming, you'll want him to make love to you like Clark Gable would, huh?"
"Think you could ever live up to some of our screen lovers, Jack?"
"Oh, Myrtle, you embarrass me." "Somehow I just can't get any of the girls to swoon over me."
"Well, we're home."
"Will you come up with us, Jack?"
"No, but I'll take you to the door, girls. What's on the meter, driver?"
Yes, what are the charges, driver?
A note. 25 cents, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Have you heard anything from Jimmy yet, Mr. Arnold?
Not a word, Margie, but we're trying to find him. Now, you girls just go on and don't talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. Let me straighten out this affair as best I can. I'll see you later, girls. I've got to get over to my office.
Bye, Jack. See you at the theater tonight,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Bye, Mr. Arnold.
Bye. Going up, Ben?
Evening, Miss Spear. Miss Minter.
Hello, Ben.
Going up.
Wait a minute there.
What floor, please?
Fifth floor.
Let us off here at our floor, Ben.
There you are, Miss Spear. Fourth floor.
Oh, I'm at the fourth floor, too. Excuse me, operator. I mean the fourth floor.
Wonder who those two men are.
Seems to me I've seen them before, too.
They're pretty tough-looking characters, aren't they, Myrtle?
They've gone down the opposite direction in the hall. See, those faces look familiar. I wonder where I've seen them before.
Oh, they probably live in this building.
No. Well, doesn't matter. Gee, I'm tired.
Oh, me too.
My feet hurt. I'll kick my shoes off. Gee, let's get our dinner and take a little rest before showtime. What are we going to have, Margie? I'm starved, but I don't feel like cooking.
Say, I'll phone the little food shop downstairs. Maybe they've got something all ready to send up.
Okay.
Operator, please connect me with the food shop. Hello, Mrs. Klinsky? Yes, this is Miss Minter. What have you got down there that's awfully good tonight? Something hot. Oh, that sounds very good. Hold the wire. Mrs. Klinsky says she's got some nice hot pastrami and baked noodles. Oh, and fresh cheese blintzes.
Margie, you're killing me. My mouth's watering now.
Oh, that'll be fine, Mrs. Klinsky. Yeah, send up plenty for two. Anything more, Myrtle?
Gosh, no.
That'll be all, Mrs. Klinsky. Thank you. Oh, well, I'll set the table right now.
All right, dear.
Shall I heat up the breakfast roll?
Oh, no. Let's have some good old rye bread with a pastrami. That can't be the boy from the food shop.
Oh, I'll get it, Myrtle.
Don't make any noise, lady.
Hey, what do you want? I thought it was a boy from the food shop. Myrtle, come here quick.
What's the matter, Margie? Say, who are you? What do you want?
Myrtle, they hold up, man.
This ain't no stick-up. Don't worry, girls. We're not going to hate you.
Look, you better get out of here or I'll call the police.
I wouldn't do that, sister, if I was you.
If you want our money, you can have it. Just leave us alone.
We don't want no money, beautiful. We just want to talk to you. So you might as well sit down and be quiet about it.
Oh, Margie, now I know where I saw these two fellas. In the subway. And they got off at 50th Street right behind me.
Yeah, we saw you, too. Say, sister, at what station did you get on?
Didn't you see me get on?
No, we didn't.
Well, then it could have been almost any station. I don't really remember.
Your name is Myrtle Spear, ain't it?